The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Was the upset heard around college basketball? Number one team in women's play going down, Stanford. And what's so interesting is I don't think it's happened since 2009. The women's field usually holds a little bit closer to form than the men's, where we have now seen two number one upsets. So this is what Ole Miss is waiting, a game coming up here in a little while. So we head out to the West Coast and joined by Coach Yeo. Coach, first of all, congratulations. We heard you a minute ago from your press conference. You sounded very emotional. I know you've had a chance to, well, I don't know about rest, but good afternoon and congratulations.
Paul, you called this earlier in the season, football season. You told me the next time we talk, we'll be talking about stuff like this. So I'm excited to be on.
Well, that was such a thrill to see you that day in Oxford. And I know, first of all, let me ask you about the travel situation, because usually you win a game, you get on a plane, you come back. You are hanging tight on the West Coast. Explain.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to stay out here. We don't get to control the travel. The NCAA does. And honestly, for us, we like it because of the time difference. So we're going to bring in academic advisor, and other girls will have study hall and do what they need to do while we're here.
And, yeah, you're right. You would be spending most of the next couple of days going East Coast all the way across the Mississippi. So that makes a lot of sense. And I know teams have done that in the past. Let's talk about this, because you've had experience this year. You nearly beat the best team in college basketball as of now, South Carolina. Game went into overtime. You played a really competitive game against LSU. So to say that you weren't prepared for this would be ridiculous. But what do you think going into the game you saw that helped your team get over the hump?
Well, honestly, Paul, it's like you said, just playing in the Southeastern Conference, going up against talented teams night in and night out, and different variations with sometimes the size in South Carolina, or maybe the quickness in a Florida, or, you know, the schematics in the Arkansas, Alabama, has prepared us to play any type of team or style of play in the NCAA tournament. So one of the things, like, my team was ready to compete, because we've competed all year long with LSU and South Carolina and the other teams in the Southeastern Conference. So as far as we're concerned, we felt like we were battle-tested, and I think that's why we came out with so much confidence.
And I know most people watching and listening understand what you were up against, but Stanford has been, you know, has one of the – historically one of the greatest coaches – of all time. This program has been, I think, 14 straight Sweet 16s. I mean, that is just incredible to think about when you just digest the greatness of that program, which gives your victory even more credence.
Right, absolutely. Like, Tara is a legend, right? So I'm the young Thundercat in the game, Paul. So it was just an honor to just go up and coach against her. The history of Stanford women's basketball. You know, one of the things that was kind of, I think it was an advantage for us, like, my players don't know all that history. So for them, it was like just another game. And I'm going to be honest with you, like, our team thought we were going to win the game. So while it's an upset, we understand how big of a deal it was. When you saw the emotions, it was because we were going to the Sweet 16, not because we beat Stanford. Like, we just felt like we were going to win the game beforehand. So, but we're happy to still be dancing.
And Stanford won the title a couple of years ago. They've been to a couple of, I think, two Final Fours in a row. As the game unfolded, obviously you just said you were confident, but what did you see? Because it's one thing to have a good run. It's another thing to get to the end against a program like this.
Right. Well, we led the whole game. So, like, we never had to chase from behind. So we came out aggressive, and I think that's when everyone was like, oh, man, Ole Miss came to play. But the last 4 minutes of the game, we had a media timeout, and I just told the team, like, don't change. Don't start getting tight. Let's just play how we play. And then in the last 2 minutes, I'll manage the game. But, of course, Stanford made a surge and a run, and I called a timeout and just told them, hey, just relax. Like, we still got it where we want to be. Let's just continue to defend, and we'll come out victorious.
Coach, you got the team to the tournament a year ago. It had been a 14-year absence. And I know there are times when it probably never felt hopeless, but it certainly, when you began, I remember talking to you, you could talk a good game, but getting there are two different things. What do you think, as you reflect back, and I know there's not much time for that right now, helped you launch this program to really being the talk of women's basketball this morning and all day long?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's surreal, you know. But, Paul, I have people like yourself that I get to meet, and I don't get to spend a lot of time with, but I try to impact people when I get to meet them. And so a lot of people believed, you know. And so this journey that we're on is celebrated through tons of people, men, women's basketball. I got a call from Lane Kiffin this morning.
That's amazing.
And, like, giving me tips, you know, and just because people really are tied in some way, shape, or form to our program or to me. And so we are really excited to have this opportunity. But I must say, like, we don't want to stop playing. So we want to keep going, and we're going to do our best to keep that.
So that's the final question, and I know it's a question that any coach that pulls an upset has to deal with is the day after and the day after. You have to turn the page. I know you're enjoying reflecting, but you also want to get ready to – it's hard to prepare since you don't know who you're playing yet. But how do you turn the page for your young players?
Well, we're gonna watch the game. It's at 4 p.m. and I don't know what time zone, but for us it's 4 p.m. So we're gonna watch the game, and so we can find out who we're playing, and then just go from there.
Well, you're in the Pacific time zone right now, but you might as well be in Neverland, considering what you accomplished yesterday. I told you that on that day in Oxford. I hope we're talking often for these next couple of weeks. So please keep winning, and we hope you'll come back.
Thanks so much, Paul. You know I love this show. Howdy, toddy.
Howdy, toddy. Great to talk to Coach Yeo after one of the historic wins in her program's history, beating Stanford yesterday. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls. John Daly's had a few historic wins. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour to brag a little bit about his Razorbacks.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. I mentioned John Daly joining us shortly. A guy called, and then P.J. Washington's dad called, from former Kentucky great, talking about the previous call. So I think it's only fair to let Royce call back. Royce, you're on the air.
All right, Palm, I'm back. You had asked a question. I'm glad how you – I like the way you set that up. Thank you, Paul. You asked a young man the question, Mr. Washington, the question. What does Calipari need to do now? Remember the movie Frankenstein?
Sure.
The mad scientist created Frankenstein and had a hard time killing it in the end, didn't he?
He sure did.
That's what Calipari needs to do. He needs to kill. He came to Kentucky. He created Frankenstein, which is the one and done. Now he can't kill it. Because in the past, he used to be able to say, well, they're young. They're young. So you got to give them a chance. That's what Mr. Washington just spoke on. Okay? They gave you a chance for years with those one and dones and those high profile players. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Now, you're not getting as many. Now, you will next year. You'll have the top, you know, recruiting class again, starting it up again. You're not getting as many as you used to get in the past. Now, you're starting to master the transfer portal. You have had 2 years here of decent teams using McDonald's All-Americans and high profile transfer players, but yet you still lose and go home early. In the end, the Kentucky fans are asking the question, why are we still losing? At some point, you have to start pointing the finger at the coach. You have to. And then he speaks on all the great things that Calipari has done. Yeah, we get that. He's done all these, you know, he raised monies. He's done a lot of charity work. Yes, that's good. That's part of who he is. And that's what makes him great. That's what makes him great also, okay, in that area. But when it comes to coaching, he has grown stale. And he can't kill the Frankenstein. Because fans like me get upset because they go out and buy these tickets. They spend money traveling on hotels, on food, on rental cars, on T-shirts, on man caves. Fans spend a whole lot of money. And when you go up and beat up in the preseason, you beat up on teams, those mediocre semi-pro teams in the Bahamas and over the waters, and go 4-5-0 and beating these teams by 40 and 30 points, you get the hopes of the Big Blue Nation up. And then when you come and it's season time to play, come season time, you go back to doing what you do. And the fans need to know that if you can't keep calling somebody great who's not winning like somebody's great. So he's a good coach, yes he is, but more than anything, he has become a recruiter. What can he do? Kill the Frankenstein. The Frankenstein.
Royce, interesting question. Listen, I'm glad you came back. Thank you. Let's continue this dialogue very soon. Mark is up next in New Jersey. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I called you last week. I was at the SEC tournament, and I wanted to get into how great the coach actually
Nate Oates is. But before I preface that, I heard the whole thing with the guy with the Alabama thing. I was actually in Tuscaloosa the night that happened. But for some reason in this country, you can print anything you want now without having evidence. And all I can say about the case is the true facts will come out eventually. But just getting back to Oates, you know, we're talking about Calipari all day and how he's slipping. Man, is anyone really recognizing what Nate Oates is doing? He has, not only with all the controversy with the Darius Miles, Brandon Miller, he has kept his team together, and he has created something. You know, Paul, I was a basketball coach for a long time. He's changing the style of play in college basketball. When he spreads the floor, he's got the three-point shooters in the corners. He does the high pick and roll. If they come in for the drive, they dish it out to the corner for the three. And you know what? His defense is impeccable with this team. He is starting a new trend in college basketball. And I know they're talking about the Calipari's and all the other stuff. But, man, we got to give Nate Oates credit. He has kept his team together. He has just solidified these kids through a very, very bad ordeal. And the last thing from Jersey, Javon Quinterly. He sat on the bench. He blew his knee out. Man, this kid has shown such, I don't even know, such comeback. He's a true warrior. He's Jersey basketball. We love him here in Jersey. But let's give Nate Oates some credit. He really held this team together, Paul, through all this controversy.
He most certainly did. Thank you so much for the call. You be well. Hayden is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
I was listening to Ryan Phillips and you talk about the whole situation, and I read his article and everything. And I kind of wanted to get your opinion on it, specifically on the AL.com article that came out like 2 days after the whole incident went down. And if you read that article, it kind of felt like an indictment of Brandon Miller and Alabama basketball, but it was very immediate, and it just kind of goes to show how the media kind of jumped out on the situation. And I just wanted to know if you thought that it was too much of an indictment on the basketball team and Brandon Miller too quickly, and how the current situation has come to where it doesn't feel like, it kind of feels like people are starting to walk back on their words a little bit about everything that they said before, like Clay Travis and some of those other folks.
Well, I don't know what Travis has said, but I mean, I think in AL.com's case, they're reacting. It was a feeding frenzy. And you had, Dick Vitale going crazy. You had Travis going crazy. All of us were in a state of shock. And ultimately, things started changing. And I think the pendulum has shifted. I think Ryan Phillips did a really good job of digging deep on what we know now, which we didn't know at the time. So he's the only one that I'm aware of that has done that. The article you were referring to, I think, was done by Joseph Goodman, who interviewed the mother. And I think it was, a mother is going to be more affected than almost anyone else. So I think one can understand the emotions of that moment in time. William is up next in Maryville.
Hello, Paul.
William?
How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Two quick things, and then I'd like to go into the Tuscaloosa Patch article a minute. But the first thing is, Coach Yo kind of reminds me of Mike Leach, and that's probably a strange analogy. But when you hear her, she's just somebody you want to root for.
Oh man!
Like Mike Leach, when he come up with some of his common sense kind of quotes, you just say, I like that guy, and I hope he does well. And the same thing about Coach Yo. You just you want her to do well. And number two, I'd like to send a bottle of mustard to Legend to eat with his crow about the demise of the SEC. Be glad to do that if you can get me an address. But what I really was calling about was the Tuscaloosa Patch article. I read it. I thought Ryan did a phenomenal job on the timeline of tying video together. I came away from it with a little bit different take than what he wanted to admit to you. The first thing is that if Brandon Miller had a passenger, which according to the investigator he did, that passenger could very well confirm that Brandon Miller never saw the text that referred to the faking and bringing the gun. So that passenger is key because it can certainly confirm or not confirm what Brandon Miller has said. Number two, Cedric Johnson, the boyfriend of the young lady that died, he was no choir boy. I guess he's on video getting out of the car, the Jeep, and talking with a known criminal / drug dealer right before this happened. The Jeep was seen making several drives around the block as if they were looking for someone. And according to the video that Ryan Phillips referred to, the first shots came out of the Jeep, not from Darius Miles. And, in fact, most of Miles' shots were as he was running away, including the two that I think hit Brandon Miller's car. other interesting thing is, you know, is that Miles's girlfriend had gotten into a street fight earlier, and
right. Miles, I thought that was very interesting.
Very interesting. But Miles, after he was shot, got into the car with his girlfriend and Davis. So, you know, if I got in a car with a friend of mine who was shot, I'd take him to the hospital. But they went back to an apartment, at which time they then called 911. And there was some question about him denying how he knew he was shot because he was pretty drunk. But, again, I thought the article was incredible.
Yeah, William, I'm up against a break here with John Daly waiting, but I would encourage people to read it, Ryan Phillips' article on the Tuscaloosa Patch. He lays a unique case out that you won't read in some of the scare headlines that have been propagated throughout this ordeal. We'll take a break. The one and only John Daly on the Razorbacks heading back to the Sweet 16.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. It's always a special day when we get a chance to see John Daly, whether it's at a golf tournament or in Fayetteville or earlier in the football season. But talking about the Razorbacks is one of his pastimes as well. And it came out over the weekend that John Daly may be the single reason why the Razorbacks are in the Sweet 16. I say that exaggerated fashion, but it did come out that John has been texting some tips to Coach Muss. John, great to have you back on the program. Good afternoon.
It's good to hear from you, Paul.
So before we get too serious, talk about your advice to Coach Muss, which he obviously said he pays attention to what you say.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, I watch every game that I can, and you know, I love everybody of our sports. I try and watch everything in the Razorbacks. But, you know, I told him, I said, look, Coach, we're losing games because of free throws. And, you know, I told him to take a plastic cup and a golf ball, put it about 2 inches from the cup, have all the guys put that in. That's called a gimme. That's what free throws are supposed to be. And we lost 8 or 9 games this year because of free throws. And to see Council make them, Mitchell, or, you know, and, you know, Walsh and Black start making these free throws. I mean, you know, that's just giving points. And it cost us a few games. And now what they did against Kansas hitting those free throws, that's what won it for them.
I'm glad to hear that, because too often coaches hear from famous alums and they don't listen. I'm so glad to know that they did. I don't know what you're doing right now in terms of making available. I mean, I realize you have a profession that you're quite skilled at, but how are you when you're watching the Razorbacks, or what do you like when you're watching the Razorbacks or keeping up with the Razorbacks in a game like the one yesterday?
Well, it's nail-biting. I mean, you're playing against the number one seed. I know it's hard to defend. Like, Kansas is a great basketball program, and, you know, and we were down by 12 points, but our guys just don't quit. I mean, it's, you know, Eric, Coach Musselman, I mean, he gets his guys to play. They love him, and they play hard for him. And even when they're down, they're still up. I mean, they're just – they fight, and they fight, and they fight. And you can see it on the court, the way we play defense, the way we guard, we try and keep guys that are good three-point teams. You know, our guys are big and they're fast and they get out there on the perimeter and try and keep those teams from making all those threes. In Kansas, that's the way they won basketball games this year. And just the passion about our team and the kids, they're young and, you know, it's just awesome to watch. I love it. I love SEC, but, you know, I love the Hogs. And, you know, I was hoping some of our other teams would have kept going because I root for the SEC. But what our kids are doing in Arkansas in basketball is just – it's amazing. I just love to watch them.
John, as you know, Arkansas is playing in Vegas later in the week. I don't know why. I don't know what's on your schedule this week, but it's hard to imagine you not wanting to be there or being there. What are you doing the rest of the week?
Well, I'm actually in Palm Springs for a new term at the gallery that's on our tour.
You're not far.
I'm not far, so you never know. You never know. I play Fridays, so the game's at 4:15 Pacific time in Vegas. So you never know, Paul. You never know what we might do.
Well, I'm sure maybe somebody can tweak your tee off time to make it early enough to get to because Palm Springs to Vegas on a quick plane ride cannot be very far.
Hour and 10 minutes. I've already looked up a private plane. So.
Well, I would think you've got enough pull with the tour to not that you want to be the first one off Friday morning, but I think in this case you might want to be.
Well, luckily we go usually around 10 to 12. So, you know, hey, at least if I do go, at least I'm going and not staying up all night drinking and miss my tea time. So that's even better. So.
Are you safe in Vegas? By the way, just I'm worried about you. I hate to say, especially if the Hogs win, which they have a propensity to do in Sweet 16 games.
Well, Connecticut's a well-coached, great team. I've seen them play this year. They're good all over the place. But no, it'd be the way to go to Vegas. Go in and get out.
Talking to John Daly about, you know, listen, I've seen you so many times. You know, you're sitting with Jerry Jones at a Cowboys game or at a Razorbacks game, but you are truly of the celebrities that follow college sports. You are without a doubt the most passionate, and you know what you're talking about. Some of these guys, I mean, they're busy and they show up at a basketball or football game. But I mean, what is your consumption of Razorback sports like on a weekly basis?
Well, I've always been a loyal fan, whether we win or lose. But what 100 Yurchek's done with the coaches he's hired, and you know, Van Horn's been there forever with our baseball team. They're sound. They're great. Our softball team's awesome. I love watching them play. Our golf team needs to get it in gear. They got to finish a couple top fives to get in regionals. But I just love what Hunter, the coaches that he's hired and the things that he's doing in Fable. It's just, you know, SEC's hard. I mean, everybody's so good. But to see Arkansas kind of getting where they need to get, and with Pittman, our football coach, and we got KJ coming back one more year, so we're going to have a great quarterback. I just passionate. I love my Hogs, and you know, we don't have a pro team in Arkansas. Arkansas is our pro team, and our fans are so loyal. We love them, whether they win or lose. We're gonna love them.
That is so great to hear. John Daly with us talking about the Razorbacks moving on. Again, let's stay with Coach Pitt. I want to get to Pittman in a second, but Coach Musselman. It's just amazing to think about, because John, as you alluded to with the free throw shooting, I mean, this season has been all over the map, and it was hard to believe that Arkansas could get something going based on the inconsistency. Other than following your tip on learning how to shoot free throws, what else do you attribute this turnaround?
Well, they're going to the boards more. We're using our size. We're going to the boards more. We're getting a lot of paint points with Mitchell, and you know, Council has just been a stud to this March Madness. That guy has been just awesome. And Walsh, he's such a great defensive player. you know, and Davis, I mean, you know, he's probably, I would say, probably our best three-point shooter. But they're all just clicking right now, and they've learned to play together. You know, we had some injuries with Smith. Smith is back in the game now. He's in and out a little bit, but he's a stud, and he's a great three-point shooter too. But I just love the way we play defense. I mean, if we play defense against Connecticut and we make free throws, I think we really got a great shot at winning that game.
So that is later in the week, and I mean, that you're right. I mean, I think that's the game that Arkansas has to win. I mean, they've already knocked off Kansas. John, let's talk about you for a second. Certainly, the world knows of your accomplishments. I mean, you've won two British Opens. You have been one of the most popular golfers, really, in the modern history of the game. How is your game right now?
Well, I just had a full knee replacement 11 weeks ago, so I'm still kind of playing on one leg. But our Champions Tour, our guys are so great. You know, we've been beating up on each other through the PGA Tour. It's still competitive, as you know, as it all can be. But, you know, we all hang out, you know. Our kids come out. A lot of the kids and families come out on our Champions Tour. And this tour, it's all about family and the friendships. You know, we love to beat up on each other, but when it's all said and done, we'll hang out, have a few drinks, you know, talk about, you know, kind of the old days and stuff. But I love this tour. It's, you know, how many sports do you know that guy 56 years old like me that still has a job?
And the things that not many.
Job that I love to do. You know, you don't see it in any other sports. So, you know, I kind of thank God every day for getting custody of my son, for one. But to be able to play this game at this age and do it for a living is pretty cool.
John, how difficult was the surgery and the rehab? That doesn't sound like anything fun.
No, I had my right knee done 3 years ago, so I've been through it. And, you know, I pushed myself with the rehab. You know, I started playing. I played in Tucson 2 weeks ago. I'm not supposed to play on this knee for 3 months. It's only been 11 weeks. So, you know, my rehab, I do it really – I learned from my first one. And, you know, I did it on my own. I don't want to be babied. I listened to my doctor Moore, Samuel Moore, Little Rock, who's done a lot of surgeries. He's done both of my knees, and he's done a lot for the Razorbacks. I just listen to him, and whatever he tells me, I double up, and he's very proud of me for how I've been doing my rehab.
Let me get some football thoughts, because when I saw you last, optimism was high. The Razorbacks were about to knock off Cincinnati, and it all seemed right in the world. What happened last year?
Well, KJ was hurt for four games. You know, in football, in SEC, you have so many injuries, and we lost some close games. But, you know, if we're healthy, you know, it's like the old saying, if you can stay healthy and get through a season with your best players, we have a really good shot at doing some great things. You know, when you're playing Alabama, Auburn, you know, every year having to play Alabama, that's one of the hardest teams to play. But the SEC is strong in football. It's hard. It's every week somebody's getting hurt. It's just tough. And what Pittman's doing, the players want to play for our coaches at Arkansas. And that's what's so cool. I can see it in their eyes, how passionate our kids are. Because, you know, if you got a coach that you don't like, then you don't need to be there. And all our kids and every sport that we have in Arkansas, all our coaches are so great, and they're passionate about the Hogs. And I'm not saying most coaches aren't, but when I look into Muss's eyes and Pittman's eyes, it's just got Razorbacks all in their heart, and they love what they do, and the kids love playing for them. And if we can just be competitive and win a lot of games, that's fine. But no matter what, I just love my Hogs, and I love the coaches that we have up there. Hunter Yurcheck, I love that guy for what he's brought to the University of Arkansas. I mean, I know Coach Broyles would be so proud of him, because Coach Broyles was the man, and Hunter's just done a great job.
Well, John, you're right. Yurcheck has been one of the preeminent athletic directors in the country, you are one of the all-time great super fans, and it's such a pleasure to occasionally get to hear from you and rarely see you. But thank you for always making time for us. We'll be watching you this weekend in Palm Springs, and I'll be checking the flight logs to see when you sneak out of there to get to Vegas.
Well, you're the best, boy. I love your show, and go SEC, and go Hogs. I love you guys.
the legendary John Daly joining us. And when I say legendary, that is no understatement. He is one of the all-timers. We appreciate him making time for us, celebrating the Arkansas victory over the weekend against Kansas, knocking out the number one seed. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Let's continue with more of your phone calls. And Philip is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Philip.
Hey, Paul. What's going on?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Hey, yeah. Well, I was actually, you know, have the phone on kind of on quiet, but that's all right. No, I call, you know, a little shook up here. But no, Royce called in earlier, and I don't know who he was talking about, the big-time transfer portal players. Hello?
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
And I don't know who he was talking about them. I mean, Reeves and Frederick, they're not huge transfer portal players, but you know, they did. But other than that... kind of nervous. I don't know why, but I want to know what you think about the Lamar Jackson stuff that's going on right now. It's a little different, and I just want to hear your.
Yeah, I know one thing. If somebody offered me a couple $300 million or whatever it is, I'd probably take it. There's only so much money out in the world to spend, so that would be my response. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Gerard is up next.
Paul.
Hey, good afternoon.
I'm a little bit disappointed in you. You have your segue a while ago was it's dominating the story that's dominating the airline, airways, and it's the Brandon Miller. I think the only people that's talking about this is the media. And y'all, I don't know if y'all are fishing for a story or what, but you know as well about it. You know, Clay Travis is a window licker that got lucky and made it big. He didn't earn it like you did. You know, the only thing that's dominated by him is Donald Trump had him probably handcuffed to the bedpost or something. And but you know as well as I do, you've been around Alabama sports.
Right.
Do you think for one second that Tuscaloosa police, Northport police, if they had 1 ounce of anything on Brandon Miller, he'd be arrested and in jail or whatever? They are like wolves with blood on their lips when it comes to these sports stars now. It's not like the old days when he was covering Bear Bryant and kid got stopped for drinking too much. And, you know, one of the coaches got the call, not the police department. They got him home and they let Bear Bryant. But nowadays the police, if there was any evidence whatsoever to arrest him, he'd be under the jail now.
I agree with you on that. I think history would indicate that you are correct, especially modern history.
But is there so little stories in the NCAA tournament that this is the only story that they want to tell?
Well, because, Jared, I mean, it's not the only story, but it is. It's the key. Here's why. I'm just telling you the way the media perceives these things. He's the best player on the best team. And there's a perception of the groupthink that you were referring to, and I've listed a few of the names, and there are many more, who don't know anything, who don't know the people involved, who don't know the facts. They just know that he's a college basketball player, and it looks like he got away with something, so therefore they are going to offer a snapshot opinion, which is where most of – this isn't the good old days when somebody actually formulated an opinion. These are the present days when you hear a story, and within 15 seconds, your phone's in your hand, and you're hitting the send button.
Yeah, but it's so unnerving. CBS, you know, it's, Charles Barkley's probably one of the few that has a real-world opinion about anything. And but just really, really, after the game, the first thing a court commentator can do is go to the Brandon Miller story.
Well, hey, but that's why we have but that's why we've tried to look at it objectively and fairly, and I feel like we have because it is that important to the narrative. Anyway, well, quick break. We have an hour to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.